Haines climbers are likely the first women to summit the cathedral peaks, and the Skagway Borough Assembly debates pushing back the Tidelands Lease special election. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. At the Skagway Borough Assembly's meeting last week, members debated pushing back the date for the special election on the Tidelands Lease Ordinance. The Assembly also saw the 35% design for the planned Gateway Port expansion. Gateway Project Manager Dr. Chad Gubala says the 35% design is the best guess for what can be accomplished within the current $23 million budget. The project is both a cleanup of legacy contamination in the ore basin and a replacement and enhancement of the existing dock structures. Those include the ore terminal, the Alaska Marine Lines dock, and the fuel dock. The 35% design lists a projected cost of $2.8 million for dredging and capping to clean up contamination. Demolition of existing dock structures is estimated at $1.7 million. It also includes a $7.2 million ore terminal bulkhead wall and piers for AML and Petro 49. Gubala says the Gateway project is under review by the Army Corps of Engineers. After their review, it will go into a public comment period. Assembly members will have a chance to ask questions or comment on the 35% design at the August 6th Assembly meeting. Gubala hopes to ultimately send the project out to bid in October or November. The presentation of the 35% design comes about a month before a scheduled election on the Tidelands lease between the municipality of Skagway and White Pass Railroad. The lease dictates control and responsibility of the Tidelands between the two parties for the next 35 years. It's expected to bring in $11 million to the municipality during that time. In a 4-2 vote earlier this month, the Assembly approved an ordinance that authorizes the municipality to enter into the lease. That vote effectively sent the decision to the public. But some Assembly members think the public might need more time before deciding whether to give their approval to the lease. At last week's meeting, Assemblyman Gary Hansen suggested rescheduling the lease vote from August 25th to October 6th. During the general election, Hansen said he heard from more than a dozen people who are concerned that the August election date is too soon. Assemblyman Tim Cochran agreed.
I don't want to shove something down everybody's throat if they're not comfortable with it, because the perception that we're trying to fast track it is evident. And I think everybody should have the chance to ask questions, address concerns.
Cochran said he doesn't want a no vote because people don't have time to get their concerns addressed. Mayor Mark Schaefer disagreed, saying the lease memorandum of understanding has been public for a year and 7 months.
I don't think that you could possibly call that a rush. We were accused of that right out of the gate when we brought the MOU out. Amazing. A year and 7 months later, and now we're still rushing it. I find that really not very accurate.
Assemblymember Dan Henry also said there's been enough time for people to review the agreement.
If they have an interest in this subject, they do. If they're not here, they're not here. I can't force somebody to do anything. It's everybody's individual choice, just as it will be. There will be only you and God in that booth, and you'll cast a vote. And the people at the end of the day will make a decision. And I think they're more than capable of making that decision today. Well, not today. After a couple informational meetings, they'll be fully well equipped.
Hansen made a motion to set up a special meeting to discuss whether to reschedule the election. It was a tie vote, with Hansen, Cochran, and Spencer Morgan voting for the reconsideration, and Henry, Angela Greaser, and Steve Burnham voting against it. Mayor Mark Schaefer broke the tie with a no vote, although the motion would have failed even without a tiebreaker. Borough Clerk Emily Deitch says it's still possible to change the election date. The Assembly would need to vote to repeal their resolution scheduling the August election. Haines residents Jen Walsh and Jessica Kaiser Forrester are likely the first women to summit the 6,400-foot Mount Emmerich in the Chilkat Valley, also known as Cathedral Peaks. They made the trek in early July with Chris Downer and Kevin Forrester. Local climbers say fewer than 10 ascents of Emmerich have happened since the first one in 1976, and Forrester and Walsh are thought to be the only women to complete the climb.
Kevin looked at Jess and me and said, "You guys, this is it. I mean, if we are going to turn around and get back to our tents or off the snowfield before the sun hits the snow, then we need to turn around now."
That's Jen Walsh. That moment in the climb where Kevin Forrester asked his companions if they wanted to turn around happened because of unexpected conditions. The group had hiked from sea level and made their base camp in the Cathedral Cirque, a glacier bench at about 3,700 feet. Right away, they noticed something different. Here's Jessica Forrester.
It was really surprising how little snow and ice there was. So you have this mountain up there that is being exposed for the first time because it's been covered in snow and ice for so long, which brought about a lot of objective hazards now.
Less snowpack meant more technical snow and rock climbing than they expected. Kevin Forrester had summited Emmerich before, and his trip up from the base camp and back down took 9 hours total. They could tell that that was not going to happen this time. The group was less than halfway up when they had to make a decision.
There's no way that we can make this. We can get up there and come back down in time and not be in the heat of the day. And so we know it's going to be calm and 80, so it could be safe to be on the summit. So the other option is we just keep climbing through the night and we spend the day on the summit and then come down that evening. And we decided to do that.
Forrester and Walsh say they climbed during the night because colder weather makes for safer conditions. Trying to climb at that elevation when it's sunny and 80 degrees would be dangerous because the heat makes the surfaces less stable. It took 14 hours to climb up from their base camp to the summit along the south ridge of the peak. Walsh remembers how it felt when they made it to the top.
To be with all of your friends right there and know that you just did something that took everything is amazing.
Yeah.
I feel like we've done some big things together before, but maybe I just haven't felt that kind of emotion. And it just sort of, it opened up gates, and that was my moment.
Their view was a sea of mountains, which they had hours to take in, since they couldn't descend during the hot daytime hours.
It was one of the most amazing experiences of my life, because usually you get to the top of a mountain and or the top of a climb and you just turn around and go back down. You don't spend much time on summits. But in this particular instance, we peaked out at around 7 o'clock in the morning and we proceeded to spend 10 hours on the summit.
Forrester and Walsh say the most physically exhausting part of the trip wasn't the summit. It was hiking out of the cirque. The group had arranged for a plane to drop food into their base camp. But leaving, they had to carry all the leftover supplies out on their backs. The lack of snow also made that part of the trek more difficult. Walsh says the hike out took 13 hours.
I kind of like activities that involve some suffering, but This was incredible. It was a lot of work, but it was really a lot of staying mentally focused. And I think coming back down, I thought to myself, I might not be strong enough for this.
Walsh and Forrester are probably the first women to summit the cathedrals. But since some ascents are not officially recorded, it's hard to know for sure. Jack Tackle was one of the climbers to make the first ascent of Emmerich in 1976. He and Haines climbing enthusiast John Svensson both say that they don't know of any other women who have summited Emmerich. The American Alpine Club also did not know of any other female climbers who have reported summiting the cathedrals. Forrester and Walsh give a lot of credit to Chris and Kevin, but they say they wouldn't have done it without each other. Here's Forrester.
There's so much more when there's another woman with you. Mm-hmm. And you can't really explain it, but It just makes you stronger.
Forrester says the scene from the adventure that stays with her the most is when they were hiking back along the glacier after the summit climb. It was 1 a.m. and the moon was bright in the sky. The whole horizon was lit up pink and red. They walked in silence between jagged mountain peaks, and the whole Chilkat Valley was beneath their feet. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.